Did you know that as of 2019, there are about 1,181,019 video games in the whole of existence?
You're listening to the Xbox Hub podcast, the official podcast of the xboxhub.com. For all the latest Xbox news, reviews, videos, and opinions, make sure you visit the xboxhub.com. But for now, settle down, get comfy, and open your ears for some podcast delights.
Hello, welcome to the Xbox Hub official podcast, episode number 27. My name's Gareth Briney. I'm going to be your host, as normal. And on my virtual left is Mr. James Burks. How are you doing, James?
Well, how's it going? You all right?
I'm very good. You're very upbeat. Good.
I am, for a change. It'll soon change, I'm all right.
And on my virtual right is Mr. Richard Dobson. How are you doing, Richard?
Hello, guys. Good, thank you. How are you both doing?
Very good, thank you. Thank you. Good to have you both on. Welcome back.
Thank you.
James is very upbeat. I like it. He's really
weird.
Yeah. As always, because we're over internet's all over the place at the moment, so there might be some leaks. What does that mean? There might be some. What's the word I'm looking for? It might just go off. But well, you know, it might just be silence.
Technical difficulties.
Exactly. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you, James.
No worries. I need help.
I do need help. Need a lot of help. What have you been doing this week, Richard? What have you been doing?
Still in lockdown, and as of yesterday, for another 3 weeks at the minimum.
Yeah,
but we've tried some new things this week. So we went to the shops over the Easter weekend and bought a lot of games to play in the garden.
Oh yeah,
and we've unofficially christened it the Lockdown Cup. So we've got. Ring toss is the big one at the moment for us.
What's it called?
Ring toss. I don't know if there's a more appropriate name for it.
Fine.
That's something else to go with.
Okay, that's something else. Yeah.
Is that a weekend?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what I mean when I say ring toss.
Yes.
Yeah.
The old funfair game.
Yeah, that one.
So you've got something in the middle that you have to throw, and you have to throw like a circular hoop round.
Yes, yeah, we've got two sticks in the ground, and we've got four rings.
Right.
And I think as soon as I finish work, I'm working from home still at 4 o'clock. I'm downstairs and I'm in the garden waiting to play ring toss.
Okay.
Good. I like that. Work's finished. Ring toss. Good. Yes.
Are there any trophies or like medals to give out?
At the moment, I'm suggesting that I use the Crash Team Racing mug. But that doesn't mean much to Laura, my partner.
Right.
Well, so I'll make sure you win it.
Yeah, I'm just making myself more determined that I'm going to win it then.
Right, who's winning at the moment? What's the...
At the moment, I have it on a spreadsheet and everything because I'm a massive nerd. It's 4-3 to Laura.
Ooh, well done, Laura. I'm rooting for Laura, Richard, already.
Good luck today, Richard. I'm on your side. I'll put you back.
Another two games, hopefully, today, and I can be back in the lead.
Yeah. Oh, it's pressure, isn't it?
It is a little bit.
Yeah, wow.
You're judging the wind, isn't it? It's very technical.
I'm overthinking it way too much for what it is, but yeah.
It's
got to be done. Yeah. I like that.
I'm winning, mate.
James, what about you? What's your lockdown week been like?
A bit weird. I wanted to do a lot of things that I can do in the house.
Yeah.
But I never seem to do any of them. No. I like start something, then go, oh, actually, I'll do this instead. So it's been quite unproductive.
Yeah.
But I did start watching Tiger King.
Ah.
I guess I have different. Have you both seen it?
I've not seen it, no.
I've finished it.
It's basically about a guy called Joe Exotic, who owns lots of tigers, and his ongoing feud with a woman called Carol Baskin, who's like an animal rights activist.
Right.
And it's just crazy. Within the first episode, someone's got their arm taken off. And people are shooting guns in the zoo. It's just mental. I've never seen a program like it. It's a real documentary.
Yeah.
With real people. And you won't believe these are real people. It's strange. When did you make it, Richard?
Have you finished it?
Yeah, I've done 2 episodes.
Right. It just gets weirder and weirder. And you start watching it open-mouthed. You just can't believe what happens next every episode. Because despite this Carol Baskin pretending to be like an animal rights activist, she owns a zoo very similar to this Exotic Joe's. So she's trying to take the high ground with it.
Yeah.
Oh, and
I've got to see it.
Oh, you have to watch it. It's just mental.
They both try and take the high ground, don't they? But neither. I've got a leg to stand on, really. Yeah. Wow. I mean, they're both doing things that most people would say, you know what? Maybe it's not good.
Wow.
But neither of them refuse to draw a line under it either. No. So it's just outdoing each other.
Wow. Okay. That's one to watch. I watched a TV series and it's on Amazon Prime and it's called In the Loop. And it's an 8-part TV series and it's set in this little small American town that basically has a kind of like a underground a science experiment, like the what's the big cylinder thing in France where they were smashing the atoms together? What's that thing called?
Collider.
It's based on something like that. So it's set in this kind of fictional place, and you've got this thing underground, and there's a scientist and a small community all go and work there, but they all live there and they have their bars. But what's kind of amazing about it, it's like each episode is like a short story, separate story from this town. And some of the characters come into the other people's stories and it's all really separate. But the world they've kind of built is this kind of weird, kind of like nostalgic, kind of, it almost looks like it's set in this sort of 80s and there's some 50s stuff, but there's these kind of wreckage of all these experiments dotted around everywhere, like these kind of robotic kind of spheres or like buildings that have gone to a thing. And each episode might deal with something like time travel or a body swap between two people whose minds go to each other's bodies through these equipment. Or you might have something that someone has something they find that can just freeze time, that everyone gets frozen apart from them. So it deals with these quite, you know, big sci-fi elements, but at the same time has a kind of very warm and story about relationships. I really love it, but it's not going to be for everyone. It's very slow, it's very meditative. It's like reading a short story, a book. You know, it's not an action pack, but it's beautifully designed and it's really great, you know, brilliantly performed. And
is this the one that? Is it based on the drawings of Simon Stolberg? Is it?
Yes, I think it is. Yes. Yeah.
Because I've seen his drawings and they're absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. It looks like something like Fallout in a game world.
Yeah.
It does feel really game world. You know, that kind of thing when Fallout has that 50s architecture, but it has these kind of modern robots and these things in that style still. It really reminds you of that. Yeah. I'd recommend giving it a go, but it is slow. It has a slow pace to it. Some won't like that. But if anyone else, give it a go.
I think the sci-fi elements might make up for the slowness.
Yeah.
Because that would be quite interesting.
Yeah, it's really... Yeah, I've done about 6 episodes. I've got 2 more left to do.
When you said In the Loop, I was thinking about the film, the spin-off.
I know you mean
the political... what would you call it now?
The Thick of Us.
Think of it.
Yeah, think of it. Yes.
That was it. Yeah. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's good. And the other thing I've just been doing... Now, the big problem I've got at the moment, you know, put into games is... We're not buying any new games at the moment, really, are we? Are you buying new games, you two? And we're going to talk about Richard in a minute, but... I've got this big collection of games. on Game Pass now and on my hard drive. James has probably got every game since 2001. Yeah, he's played.
And before then.
In the olden days, I used to get one game at a time that I'd buy from a shop. I'd play that game till I complete it, and then I'd trade it in and get another game.
Yeah.
I find that I've got loads of games now, and we review a lot of games, so we've got a load of those as well. And I feel like I give up on games a little bit too easily now.
Mm-hmm.
If something gets slightly hard, I might just stop it. Do you two get that feeling? Sometimes, or do you carry on still? Do you persevere?
I'm at the time or the patience to go through any game that gives me difficulty. If I start a game and I'm stuck, unless it's a really, 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 really addictive game like Jupiter Hospital, I would just give up and go, right, I'll go and play Rocket League. Because it's like a safe zone. I know I can play Rocket League.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like wasting time in games.
I don't even think it is a difficulty thing for me, but and I do that, much to the annoyance of some of my friends, that I can't finish. But it's not just games, it's TV series and everything. I'll just get to a point and I'll just stop. And I'll have every intention of going back to it, but it rarely ever happens.
I think that's to do with choice as well. I think we know we've got other things to play. Yes. Or we've got other things
too
to watch.
Too much choice.
Yeah. And I think that makes us kind of go, well, I'll go back to that at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you said, in the olden days, like even PlayStation 1 era, if I got a game, there's no way I could afford another game for ages.
Yeah.
So I would play that game to death.
Yeah.
Until another one came out that one could afford. Some games are a lot cheaper these days as well.
Yeah.
Which helps. But it gives you too much choice.
But I feel like I'm flipping between like 10 games at the moment. You know, and also on another console, on PS4 as well. And it's like, what am I doing? I can't seem to finish
one. You can't finish any of them.
No.
No, I'm the same with the Switch. Because I've started trying to play the Switch more. I'm still nowhere near the end of Pokemon.
Yeah.
But I haven't played it for what seems like an age now. And then you put TV shows on top of that.
Yeah.
And the films.
Yeah. I've got and Football Manager as well on the Apple in there. And it's like...
Well, the new one's on Game Pass now. The PC.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So I'm really wanting to play that. But again, I won't play it.
Yeah.
I'll just start doing something else.
Maybe we need a focus.
We need each other. I think we need to support each other as well.
A support group.
Yeah, we keep each other in line.
We have one of Richard's spreadsheets, and we have what games we've got to play in the next 2 weeks, and that's it.
And you can't move on to it.
No.
And signed off by someone else.
I think you'd end up hating a lot more games, though, if you forced yourself to play them.
But the problem is, it's a luxury for us, but we could review games as well. We have to, you know, we sometimes have to put a lot of hours into a game that maybe we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And other times we get lots of games we love, you know. It's really lucky that we normally wouldn't play. But that probably shades our way of playing as well.
Yeah. Definitely.
Right, good. Let's move on after that philosophical chat about choice. Now, every episode, if you haven't listened before, we do questions to our guests that I've put so I can get a deep understanding of their psyche. And I've got three questions to ask the three of us, first of all. Are we ready, you two?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh, James is really keen this week. I like it. Okay, here's the first one. What's the maddest conspiracy theory you have ever heard? And I'm going to put that to Richard, first of all. Well, it's a hard one on the spot, isn't it?
I think there was one that I spent a long, long time just delving into, and I think it's about a guy called Andrew W.K. who most of you will have heard of. He's a rock singer, but he's also a really, really talented musician as well. I think he's reached max grade on piano and other stuff. Very, very talented guy. But the conspiracy theory is, and this Andrew WK isn't necessarily a person, it's more of a personality. And when this current person's playing Andrew WK, they'll just move on to the next person.
Wow.
And it's, there's a lot to delve into on the internet. I think he's even come out, or this Andrew WK has even come out and admitted it at some point as well. There's lots of pictures of him in, and then compared to pictures previously, and like body, my eyes are in different places and stuff like that. There's a lot on the internet about it.
So he's got different sort of versions, you know, different people playing the role of the rock star. Is that what he's?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the general feeling of it anyway.
And that's been a conspiracy theory for other rock stars as well, like April Levine.
That's one.
Yeah. Okay. I've seen it about Lady Gaga as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that one. James?
Mine's more of a recent one. And I don't know much about it, but I know it's probably the dash. The whole fact that coronavirus is a cover story for 5G.
Yeah.
issues.
Yeah.
And that's forcing people to go out and damage 5G masts.
Yep.
What are these people doing with their lives?
I don't understand what are they saying? So 5G causes coronaviruses?
No, it's causing these deaths, and coronavirus is just a cover story.
Oh, I see.
That's right. What I get from it.
Right.
But I don't know where these people are getting information from.
I'd like to know who started it. It's like you always say that about a football chant. You think, who started that football chant that everyone's got? It's like that was a conspiracy. Who started the first thought of it and it spread?
I think this one. So I remember there being a TV show on BBC Three about a zombie invasion, and it was supposed to be like a scripted reality TV series.
Right.
But these people were in a supermarket. Because that's the best place to hang out in a zombie apocalypse. But that all started because 5G turned people into zombies. And I don't know if that has got something to do with this current thinking of 5G masts, the devil's work.
And someone watched that and thought, bloody hell, this is a weird documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Now, my one is, I think the one I always go down to is looking for people... pictures of people who look like time travelers in the past. I always love it. And I think, do you remember that there was a Charlie Chaplin, this is a few years ago, a Charlie Chaplin DVD was released, and they had some footage of the opening of the Charlie Chaplin film. Like it had a standard picture and people walking past the cinema where it was getting shown. And a sort of like older woman walked past, but it looked like she was talking into a device.
Yeah.
Into her, have a look at it. If you look at the clip, you'll see it. Charlie Chaplin, time traveler, type that in, you'll see it. And the people are always going, what is this? Is it a hearing aid? Why is she talking into it? You know, it looks like a device. And then the moment you go into time travelers and pictures of the past, you'll go into a wealth of stuff. It's really interesting, like pictures of people looking in modern clothes and some in black and white pictures. It's fascinating. So that's one of the concerns. I mean, I don't believe it, but I think
once you start going into it, though, you start seeing things you want to see as well.
Yeah.
Like you see, if you close your eyes slightly, it looks a little bit like Robert Pattinson or Daniel Craig or whatever. Yeah. It begins to trick your mind.
And then you get lots of stories about people coming back and then saying they're time travelers and predicting the future. There's lots of that. It's amazing. Yeah. So that's that one. Okay. Question number two. What movie did you watch as a kid that completely scared you? I might have asked this before, but I'm going to do it again.
I'm trying to think.
Richard, you got one? Terrified you as a kid, you remember it?
I don't know if we mentioned this before, but it's not necessarily a film. but I, growing up, used to have an irrational fear of the TV show catchphrase.
You've never mentioned this before, Richard.
Have I not mentioned this before?
No. I didn't remember this.
Okay. Yeah. And it wasn't just catchphrase. It was, do you remember when the National Lottery first started and they used to have Mystic Meg?
Yes.
She used to scare the hell out of me.
Wow. Now, Mystic Meg was a kind of fortune teller who used to write horoscopes for the Sun newspaper, and she was on National Lottery and Noel's House Party, I think she used to appear on as well. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, she used to be like a big thing, the National Lottery, and it used to then just pan up to her in a little cave or wherever she was at the top of the studio. And just something about it. I don't know whether this was because growing up as a kid, my dreams were pretty vivid. I used to have lucid nightmares all the time, and I don't know if these things like catchphrase and Mystic Meg just popped up in them one time and then scarred me for life. But
yeah.
What was it about catchphrase?
Mr. Chips wasn't really the issue. It was the whole
Roy Walker.
No, I used to love Roy Walker. It was the whole crappy animation thing. So one thing I remember really well, and I've tried to find it on the internet since, was a catchphrase where there was different pieces of furniture dancing on a stage. It freaked me out. And every time I used to go around to my grandma's, she always has Challenge TV on. It's the only TV channel she'll watch. And these old episodes of catchphrase come on. And I'm just watching them now, and the animations on them are really freaky, even now, to me.
I like that. James, what about you?
I think I've answered this question before, you know.
Yeah, I think we've done it before.
It was Temple of Doom.
We've done this question before. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Do so many episodes. You start
bringing back.
I'm bringing back old material and old bad memories for you. Because I think I answered, which I think it was, when I said it used to be the old safety information films that happened. Like, yeah, we've done this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. But I'm glad we asked it because we got a brilliant reply from Richard.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I didn't have to admit that, though. Is that what you're saying?
You didn't have to admit it. It's false, but now you have. It's good.
Now we're going to be stuff in the street going, say what you see. If you see it, say it.
all them two listeners.
Okay, question number three. What is the most embarrassing thing you have ever worn? I'm going to give that to James. Have you got one, James?
No, not at the moment.
No,
I'm thinking there's so many.
What about you, Richard?
I have one. One thing popped straight into my head.
Yeah.
It was when we went to Florida for the first time, and you go through all the shops in the theme parks and everything, and I saw this amazing shirt that I thought was amazing, and it was white and it had a blue dragon on the front of it and flames around the side, and I thought it looked amazing. But I only ever wore it once, and that was to the local, well, I'll say local nightclub near where we used to live, did the under 18s nights. And the first time I ever went, I wore that shirt, and I've never worn it since.
What happened that night?
As soon as I was in the queue outside this place, I realised how bad a decision that shirt was.
I really want to see this shirt. I love it.
I don't even know if I've still got it.
Oh, wow. Wow. So no one came up and chatted to you about the shirt that night?
Not in the way you wanted to as a 14, 15-year-old anyway.
James, what about you?
Apart from England shirts, nothing really.
England football shirts, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all that embarrasses me.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's good. I've got one. My partner, Bernadette, she made for a theatre show. She had to make lots of tracksuit trousers with tails on them, animal tails, right, for a show. And one morning, she sewn an animal tail onto one of my trousers, my by mistake, because you thought it was part of the show, on my sort of tracksuit trousers. And I got up in the morning tired, put these tracksuit trousers on, went to the shop to get milk. And then the shopkeeper went, "Why have you got a towel on?" And I didn't know. All I could say was, "I don't know." And then I walked out of the shop with my milk down the road with a towel on. Yeah, so that was my most embarrassing thing. Yeah.
I would love to see that.
I think anyone would, yeah. I was so annoyed. Right, let's do would you rather questions to both of you. James, these are your would you rathers.
Yeah.
HDTV or HD projector?
HDTV.
Spain or France?
Spain.
Aliens or monsters?
Monsters.
Oh, nice. Richard, these are yours.
Mm-hmm.
Love or laughs?
Laughs.
Death by fire or death by drowning?
Oh, God. Death by fire.
Okay. Oh, good choice. Sweets or crisps?
My favorite. Yeah. Sorry.
Sweets.
Sweets. Oh, I'll go for crisps, but yeah, there you go. Lovely. Thank you, you two. Let's go on to what games we've been playing. Let's start with Richard.
Well, going back to what you said earlier, the size of the backlog and last week's releases didn't help because I picked up Final Fantasy VII Remake.
What's it like?
It's good. I've done 10 hours and I'm not at the point where you meet Aerith yet. Many of my friends have finished it already and they're willing me to finish it, but you just wait for something for that long and I'm not the guy to rush it.
Mm.
I want to take my time with it and explore everything. But the thing that's really impressed me so far is the battle system in it. Because when they announced it, they said it was going to be a mix of turn-based and action, and I was always skeptical about how it was going to work. But what they've done with it is actually really good. And it's got that perfect balance. So you can always be attacking, but then you fill up your battle gauge up. And then once that's full, then you can do a more traditional turn-based attack.
Okay.
But the way it works is really good. Really been enjoying that side of it.
Can I ask a question about that? Because the thing I remember, because I played Final Fantasy back in 1997, and that was it. But the summons, what do they look like? You know, you used to be able to summon something in battle, didn't you?
Yeah.
Shiva. I remember Shiva was one I always did summon.
Shiva's in it, but I've not got to her yet. Okay. I've only got Ifrit, which is the fire guy.
And is it really impressive, the look of it?
Yeah. So you can't choose when to... You can't choose them. You can't choose to summon all the time. If you're fighting a difficult enemy, there'll be a timer appear on one side of the screen that says once this bar is empty or full, I can't remember which way around it is, then you can use a summon.
Right.
And then they'll fight alongside you for a period of time. You can still give them actions like normal, but right. Then when their time's ended, they'll do one final big massive attack, and they are really impressive.
Wow. I do really want to play the game. And does it feel the whole game very different to the original? I mean, I know they've padded it out, haven't they? Because you're only doing the first bit of it, aren't you?
Yeah, so the original Midgar bit, which is the whole of this new game, is 4 or 5 hours in the original Final Fantasy. But it feels more of a companion piece rather than a replacement.
Okay.
So I'm getting a lot more out of it because it sort of almost cared for you to have experienced it first time, and some of the conversations that people are having and some of the things that happen, you're like, oh wow, so good to see that in these better visuals and a slightly different view of it.
Yeah. James, have you ever played Final Fantasy?
I think I played one of the spin-off games to review it.
But
I never really understood it. Which is surprising because it seems like something that's about my street.
Yeah.
But no, I need to play Which is the one that came out last year? That 15.
Oh, that's on Xbox Game Pass, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to play that.
Yeah.
First. It's on my list. We need to have to make sure I play it.
It's true. Right. Are you really enjoying it, Richard? Are you enjoying it? What's the feeling? What's your big feeling?
It's very good. I don't, at the moment, I don't think I have necessarily anything negative to say about it. I mean, the visuals on all the trailers and that looked amazing. Sometimes things don't look as good whilst you're battling, but other than that, I've enjoyed what I've played so far, and I'm looking forward to playing a lot more of it.
Good. Okay, lovely. James, what about you? What have you been playing?
I've been playing one of Artifacts of Mundi's games. They're a publisher that do hidden object puzzle adventures. And this one's called Uncharted Tides, Port Royal. It's not the most exciting game in the world, but it's got a pirate theme.
Right.
Basically, to go on a pirating journey to find someone's father. And as usual with pirates, nothing quite goes to plan, and there's a lot of backstabbing.
Ah.
But the main gameplay is like point and click. So you go around collecting items, to solve puzzles, and then you have mini games as well, like switcheroo, matching tiles, stuff like that.
So is it point and click as are you moving, or are you seeing a number of static screens and then you're
static? Oh,
okay.
Yeah, right. Still environments, which are lovely hand drawn.
Yeah.
Environments. But the hidden object part is where you'll see a scene and you have to find so many items in that scene. Right, where's Wally?
Okay.
So you might have a list of like a sword, a beetle, a cup, and there'll be loads of stuff on the screen. So you've got to look really carefully to find them.
And are you then, if you find a sword, are you putting it in inventory and then are you using it on something else?
No, with these hidden object puzzles, you find loads of things, but there's only one of the things that you actually need. Oh, you've got to find them all to get the one you need.
I've got to give one of these games a go. Yeah,
they're very relaxing.
Yeah,
just not always exciting.
No, I think I've got one on my Let's Play list, so I think I'm going to be doing one soon.
Yeah, they're very hit and miss, but the ones that are good are very, very good.
Okay, good.
And, puzzles, yeah.
Lovely. Okay.
I'm reviewing that, so the review will be live in a couple of days.
Okay.
If anyone wants to know more,
yeah, check that out. I've been playing a game called Obduction, and it's basically by the team or one of the developers who made the 90s game Myst, which a lot of you hated or loved.
I rented it from Mattresses and took it back the same day.
And if in the original Myst, it was like you move around a space. It was one of those things when you have static screens, but you can move forward so it would get closer in the original one when I had it. And these beautiful kind of like weirdly magical worlds that have the familiar architecture of something like a Greek thing as a mixture of that with this kind of fantasy mechanical steam world in one way. And you're basically trying to work out how to solve these very complicated puzzles. So they're back with a new game that came out on PC about 3 years ago called Obduction that was sort of designed for VR first of all. Now we've got it on the Xbox and the other consoles. So I reviewed it. I think the review's out now, I think. I think it came out yesterday. I really enjoyed it. It's the story is you start from this small town in Arizona and these kind of blue lights come into the sky like this alien mechanical form and suddenly you're transported to a different planet along with half the town. And you're then, that's it. You're in first person. And it's up to you to try to find out what's happened, what these games don't do, and I think was missed, is they don't give you any instructions or any. There's no sort of like little pointers or go over here.
Never helpful.
I don't think there's any control tutorials. I think you're just off. You know, and what you can do then is you can. You don't have an inventory or anything. You would click on things. You know, you'll go up to something and you can pick stuff up, have a look at it for clues, and then you can click on a lever, like pull a lever or open a door, or, you know, at some point you have a cart that you can drive around, like an old train cart. But the whole point of this game is, which I think I say in the review, is whether you're in this. In the old days in Myst, you'd have to kind of like play Myst and you have to have a notebook beside you with a mate, maybe, with hand-drawn maps, clues, and this is the same. You're just literally got to pick everything up, read everything to find out clues to what you need to do.
So you were making notes then?
I was using my camera all the time on my phone, taking pictures of the screen.
That's great.
You know, and so keeping the record. And that's whether you're going to really love the game or whether you're not going to be into the game. So I can see people just going, I can't do this. I don't know where to start. Or you get people just completely going, oh, this is great. This is, and it's a brilliant story. The world's brilliant. They have this lovely thing when you have a couple of real characters that you meet, but they're done in full motion video. In sort of like these little weird video holograms that pop up, which I really like. It has that 90s.
That's how it was in Myst, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
They've kept that style, and it just looks amazing, this world, and the kind of design of it. Yeah, I really liked it. I think I gave it 4. Out of 5, which is good. I think it might be too hard for some, you know, not too hard. It might not be the right type of thing for some people. Because I don't think the puzzles look hugely complicated. Later on, it becomes like this whole thing's with portals that becomes like a bit mind blowing. But it's really good. It's worth, if you want a challenge, you want something slow again, you know, you're not gonna get killed in it, I don't think. It's worth picking up. Obduction. There we go. Will you two be getting that?
How much is it?
I can't remember.
No.
No, that's it. Gone. All right, good. Richard, you going to get it?
Maybe. I think I had a similar experience with James with Myst.
Right.
Originally. Mm-hmm. But it does sound something nowadays I would enjoy a lot more.
Yeah.
I think we're probably quite young, weren't we, when
Myst
came out?
Yeah.
And then Gareth.
I think I picked it up for the PS2. It came out on that, and that's, I, right, that's where I picked it up.
Yeah. Good. Richard, you got one more you've been playing?
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly mention a game that came out last year called Man of Medan, which was the first in the Dark Pictures anthology. So a friend and I have been playing that on PlayStation. It came out, I think it was half price in their recent spring sale. And it's just unlike anything I've ever played before. So I know that you reviewed it, Gareth, for the Xbox Hub.
Yeah.
But we're doing it on the online mode, where you control different characters at the same time.
It's great. I mean, I did that for a preview. So I went on a boat. I think I've talked about this before. A boat on the Thames. And for a preview event with other journalists. And that's what we played. We played in the hull of a boat, and we played opposite with a stranger. I had this German journalist. Me and her were playing it together, like you were. Yeah, so that was my first experience. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so I'm, so you, like I say, I'm controlling one character while he's controlling someone else on a different part of the ship, and it doesn't put you in a group chat in the game. So we've set up a party outside of it, but I don't think you're supposed to be chatting necessarily while it's going on. No. But just hearing some of the things that he's seeing, and then I'm seeing something completely different. But even when, if we're in this, walking down the same corridor, I would see something completely different to what he'd see, and I'm trying to explain it to him, and he's like, "No, I can't see anything like that. I can't see it."
Yeah,
it's just a really, really good experience.
I think that's what they did brilliantly. I think they made a really good single player experience as well that I enjoyed, but it was the two bits. The online is really great for that, because you can have that conversation after and go, "Where did you go? I was underwater. Well, I was upstairs." And then you've got the movie it's like the popcorn, I can't remember what they call it, and that basically you sit with a party of four, play it all together, and you hand over the controller.
Oh yeah, is it Movie Night? Is that what it's called?
Yes, Movie Night, that's it. And think that's really, that's, it was such a clever way of going, let's expand this game. We can make what people, how people would like to play that. And it's and it looks great, doesn't it? It does look really good.
Yeah, yeah, the characters are really good in it.
And which will link on, I think we can link straight into this now. This is really good. Yes. We've got a link. Richard, what did you see? You saw the Little Hope trailer, didn't you? Which came out second.
So we knew already that the next one was called Little Hope, because I believe at the end of Man of Medan, which we've not finished yet, there was a teaser trailer for the next one in the anthology. But this week, they put out a first proper trailer for it, saying it's coming in summer. And I just thought it was worth mentioning as a new, not a new game, but an announcement of something that's coming soon, whereas everything else seems to be doom and gloom of delays and everything else. But this one's still on track for summer, apparently.
I got to think, because they announced that they were going to do 9 games in this anthology, weren't they? I think that's right. I've got a feeling they've made 3 of them already. Because they would have made Little Hope already. You know, they were pretty much advanced, because they announced it in the game, in the Man of Medan. So I think they might have another one as well that doesn't affect at the moment. Maybe they've got 3 on the go.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
And Little Hope, what's the highlights of Little Hope that we look forward to?
So I think this one might be set in a British town. But the only thing I'm thinking of that is because it's got Will Poulter. He's in the trailer, and he's a British actor. But I don't know if he's putting on an accent in the trailer. I can't remember if he spoke or anything. But this one is about a town called Little Hope, and that has 16th and 17th century historical ties to witch hunting.
Yeah.
So you on a school trip, discovering this town and then trying to find out what's happened, basically.
And it's going backwards and forwards in time, isn't it? It looks like you're seeing.
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah,
which is quite exciting. Yeah, they're really good, and like you said, it'd be something to look forward to, because there'd be nothing else coming out. I think it might be August again, like Man of Medan was the end of August, so they could go for that same date.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the moment they've only said summer, but
yeah.
That seems like a good shout.
I think the big thing is, like, talking about the games, I saw an interview with The Last of Us 2 guy, Neil Bruckheimer, I keep thinking it isn't. But and he was saying about The Last of Us, saying that's already, it's ready to go. We're ready to go. The two reasons we didn't really release is because we can't put it into, it wouldn't reach the audience it would do. On, you know, without going to shops and buying it.
Physical sales.
Yeah, and he said, and also the internet would have a nightmare coping with everyone downloading at that point, that game, because that game would be a big download. So, yeah, it's probably Man and Medan people are probably thinking, okay, do we wait till August when everyone, hopefully, lockdown will be partially over and people can go to shops again.
Mm-hmm.
Good. James, what about you? Anything you've seen that's caught your eye?
All I ever see these days is Game Pass. Always new games getting added, and more won't come in. And there's one added on the 16th called The Long Dark, which is a survival game.
Oh, I reviewed that years ago.
Yeah. It's basically you against Mother Nature, isn't it?
Yeah.
Essentially. Is it worth playing?
Yeah, I loved it, but it was really hard. But I think there's been many, many sort of updates to it, DLC bits, extras to it.
Yeah, it's a preview, wasn't it, for a while?
Yeah.
A long while.
You start off, I think, in a crash, or like an aeroplane crash, and then you basically survive, you're trying to survive in this Canadian wilderness and find out what happened, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, you're right. And it's pretty cold, isn't it? And you can only run this.
It is very cold.
Until freeze to death.
You die a lot.
Yeah. But other than that, there's Deliver Us the Moon, which is going straight into Game Pass.
Ah, is it?
Yeah, on the 24th.
Ah, great.
And didn't you do an interview for that one?
It feels like it's just me doing all the stuff. I did a preview for that. That you can listen to one of the podcasts. I think I can't remember what episode, but maybe in the 16th we did it. We interviewed the developers.
It was a while ago, wasn't it? That's a sci-fi exploration puzzler.
Yep.
Is that right?
I think so. First person. Oh, no, it's third person. I can't remember. Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's a very sci-fi space-orientated game, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks great.
So if you like space, you'd be well into that one. Gato Roboto. You haven't played that one, Gareth.
I haven't.
It's going straight into Game Pass on the 21st.
Good.
And it's the word I hate, which is Metroidvania.
Puts the fear of God into you.
Basically, it's a Metroidvania game in black and white. It looks all right. It could be good fun for old school gamers. But I don't know much more about it than that. It doesn't really interest me.
No.
Levelhead. That's more interesting.
What's that?
It's a couch co-op game where you can create platform levels. So you create the game and then you play it. So you create different platforming levels to test each other.
Right.
Essentially. And there's all sorts of options of machines and contraptions you can use to build these levels. And that's out on the 30th of April.
Right.
Straight into Game Pass.
Yeah.
And there's one more, Hyperdot.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Look at that. I like the look of that.
Where you have really good reflexes, essentially. Because you've got very loads of enemies.
Oh.
On like 100 different levels.
It's like a little dot, isn't it? Like a little dot in the screen and lots of dots coming at you. But it looks more interesting than that.
A simple mechanic that might lead to a decent game. That's it for incomings. But it is worth noting that Fallout 4 is leaving Game Pass at the end of the month. So if you haven't played that yet, you can't play it.
You've had it. You're not going to do it. Shot. You're not going to do it in that time. I'll tell you that. No. Give up. Don't
I
do it.
A few others, but nothing major.
Ah, good. Thank you, James. Right. Now, let's do one more little bit of news and then we've got to do a quiz, aren't we? I think let's just talk about the Cookie Mama crypto, if we can, Richard, as briefly as possible, because that was interesting.
Yeah, I think this goes back to what you said earlier about conspiracy theories. Cooking Mama Cookstar was announced last year.
Yeah.
It's coming out in March 2020. But there's so much gone on. Trying to summarize it up. I think originally when it first got announced, they said it would be the first game to have cryptocurrency involved in the game. People liked the sound of and didn't really know what it meant. And then this game came out and immediately got pulled. Originally, I think it got pulled because they thought it was mining cryptocurrency. That's what the game was doing in the background, and people were saying, well, if it does that on a Switch, it's going to overheat it. That was the first thing. And then the second thing that I saw was regarding the publisher suing the developer, or the other way around. I honestly can't get my head around half this stuff, because they released it too early without them knowing. And the latest thing that I've seen now is another reason why it was pulled, was because it's ripping music clips directly from YouTube. I think if you're going to have a look at something on the internet today, Cooking Mama Cookstar and the fallout from that would take up most of the day.
It is an amazing kind of story. I didn't know about the music clip ones. That's the latest, is it?
That's what I've just seen now, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's really worth a read because it does, it's this kind of weird kind of like, where no one's responding to it as well. The developers or the game makers or who's in charge, you have no idea as well. It's like
there's really a lot of finger pointing going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. And it's weird that, did people suddenly get it? If the people got the game when it was released for a day or something, did people get a copy of it or was that ruined?
I think there are physical copies, copies out there. Wow. And the people will have downloaded it from the Nintendo eShop before it got pulled. So I can imagine it going the same.
It won't work online, no. Okay. Mm.
I can imagine it going the same way as when Flappy Bird got released and then pulled and people were selling mobile phones with it on for thousands of pounds. Yeah. This Switch has got Cooking Mama Cookstar installed on it.
Wow. I like it. So have a look at that. So really type it in and have a examine because it's a really interesting story. Right, we're going to do a quiz because we haven't got much time. So we're going to do it. And Richard, me and James are about 2-2 in the quiz.
Annihilation last time.
And so it's James's redemption now. He's on the road.
It's purely gaming. Oh, there's no books, no films.
Oh,
so today is a National Haiku Poetry Day.
Mm.
For those that didn't know. And I like to challenge myself when writing these quizzes. So I've come up with 20 haikus.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
And you have to guess the game that they're describing.
Mm. Okay. Good. Let's do it.
So start off easy, and then in my head, they get harder as you go along.
Okay.
Let me just quickly create a thing so I know who's got which one right. So question one then. The poster boy here, a hero all dressed in green, chief and guilty spark. Gareth.
Link. Zelda.
No. James?
Can you read it again?
Yeah. The poster boy here, a hero all dressed in green, chief and guilty spark.
Ah.
Yeah. It is Halo.
Well done. That's nice. That's good. Well done, Richard. Come on, James.
Number two, Aperture Science. Be glad you aren't stuck with her.
I think we're moving too early.
Portal.
Yeah. The last line was, the cake is a lie.
I didn't want to interrupt you, Richard.
Thanks, James. It means business, though, so if you think you know it, buzz it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to put these up on Twitter later on. Yeah. Not too much of a humble brag, but some I'm quite proud of.
You should be.
Question three. Animals gather for rest and relaxation in towns and... James.
Animal Crossing?
Well done.
Very good.
Number four. Trap small beasts in spheres. James. I think that was.
Pokemon.
Yes.
Damn.
Number five, create a life sim, a form of escapism. Gareth.
The Sims?
Yeah.
your poor parents, read the rest of that out.
Read them out.
Number six, Now Apocalypse, the irradiated kind, giant bugs and crabs. James.
Oh, I might have got this wrong. I was going to say Fallout.
It is Fallout.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very good.
Number seven, become a rock god, not rock band, the other one. Ooh, Gareth, I think just.
Guitar Hero.
Yeah. Number eight, save the planet from an alien invasion, spaceship bonus. Gareth.
Space Invaders.
Yeah.
Well done. Good huggies.
Number nine, working as a team, to take down the fortresses. It's the second one. Gareth.
Team Fortress 2?
Yes. Number 10, Steve needs a new axe in this strange cubic vision. Best mine for resource.
Woo!
Oh, yes.
James?
Minecraft?
Yep.
Well done. That's good. I like that haiku a lot.
That's halfway stage and it's 5-0.
5-0? Oh, wow. This is tense.
You can take a draw now if you want, Gareth.
Number 11 then. Ghost, Peter Dinklage, Cage 6, Gareth.
Destiny.
Destiny, yes. Number 12, not multiplying, relatable now it seems, New York and DC. Gareth.
The Division.
The Division.
That is a brilliant haiku. Well done, Richard. That's really good.
That's good.
Really good.
We're on number 13. Whip it good, baby. Skill shots to kill enemies. Needed a sequel.
Ooh. Oh.
James.
Great job.
It is. Well done.
Well done, James. That's great. Wow. Very good.
Number 14. Jade and her uncle. A pig that invents fire boots. Gareth.
Beyond Good and Evil.
Well done.
This is tight.
It is. I'm not giving you a score update.
I know.
Question 15. High rise to high rise. Jump, spin, flip, kick, jump. Again.
Mirror's
Gareth.
Mirror's Edge.
Yeah. Number 16. Soul Edge and Soul Blade. It's eternally retold. Tales of swords and souls. Gareth.
Dark Souls?
No. James.
Soul Calibur.
It is. Well done.
Oh, well done. That's really good as well.
Number 17. Next, Quintillion. Center of the universe. Beyond to repeat. Gareth.
No Man's Sky.
Well done, it is.
Three to go. What's his score?
He's not going to say.
I'm not going to say, but I haven't got a tiebreaker, so. Hope there's not a draw. Number 18, 11 games strong. Arachnids, get over here. More fatalities. James.
Mortal Kombat.
Well done.
Well done.
Number 19, the Greek in the Norse, attempting to climb mountain, all just for closure. James again.
I haven't got this right now. I'm going to say Assassin's Creed.
No.
I'm going to say God of War.
Well done, Gareth.
That's a really good haiku.
My second choice.
That's good. Haiku, Greek in the Norse. Very good.
And then finally, number 20. When the mist descends, this sleepy town transcends to a ghostly nightmare.
Sorry, James. Yeah.
Well done.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
I don't think it was enough. I think Gareth won this.
Gareth has just won this, 11-9.
Oh, close. Okay. Well done. Very good, Richard. Please put those on the Xbox Hub Twitter and your own Twitter as well. They're great.
Thank you.
Really good.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Really good. Now, quickly before we go, what are we looking forward to in the next week, Richard?
It came out this week, but I've not had a chance to go in it yet. But the update to Fallout 76, Wastelanders update. I never thought Fallout 76 was a bad game, unlike the rest of the internet, it seemed. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they've done with that.
It'd probably be good with a few others, wouldn't it? For a bit of fun.
Yeah, at the moment, I've only ever done single player in it. Okay. And even that has been enjoyable. I think there's enough in there for it to be an enjoyable single player. I know they advertised it as a multiplayer one, but as a single player game, it's still very much a Fallout game.
Okay.
And they have fixed a lot of the bugs from what I've seen now, so maybe people will start to enjoy it a little bit more.
Okay. I think it'll be on Game Pass soon, that. So I think it'll be good in the next couple of months.
It would help. Yeah, it would help if it was on there.
James, what have you got? What are you looking forward to?
Afterlife Season 2.
Ah.
On Netflix.
Ricky Gervais's sitcom, yeah.
Indeed, it mixes a bit of dark comedy with pure sadness, would you say?
And it's very uplifting as well.
Yeah.
You know,
and it is. It's about dealing with grief, isn't it?
Yeah, really? Yeah. And
it's a good, very funny at times.
Yeah.
Probably good. Season 2 will be as well.
When's that on? Is it next? It's next week.
Friday.
Next Friday. Okay.
24th.
I've got two things. But actually, we've talked about Deliver Us the Moon. So the first thing is What We Do in the Shadows. Season 2 is on. It's been released. The first two episodes. Now I don't know if it's on the BBC. Yeah, but it's on FX channel. I think, is that right? I've seen that. So have a look. And What You Do in the Shadows is a kind of spoof documentary about vampires that are in New York. It is brilliant. So if you ever get to see it, if you
haven't seen the film as well,
yeah, it's a film. If you haven't seen the first season or the film, watch it, please. Very funny.
It's amazing.
Right, you two. Where can I find you on Twitter, James? Or
on Twitter and Instagram @LKGKO.
And Richard, what about you?
On Twitter @001912.
Brilliant. And you can get me on @GBBriley or on Mixer, The Lost Island, and. Please, and look out for Richard. He's going to put those haikus on his Twitter, probably maybe the Xbox Hub. And we will see you very soon. Subscribe to everything, like everything, leave us a comment, and good luck with the lockdown still. And see you next week. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the official podcast of the XboxHub.com. You'll be able to find all the notes of this show at www.thexboxhub.com/podcast. You can also check out our social feeds on Instagram and Twitter @TheXboxHub and search for The Xbox Hub on Facebook.